I feel like we've only scratched the surface of where we want to go today throughout the entirety of this program. But it's okay, because football is back, baby. It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, radio.com app. Willie P and Diesel here with you on a Football Monday. The ninth day of the ninth month, 2019, 844-GSP-ESPN is how you get in touch with us. Text line's open at 71307. Start your message with ESPN and be a part of the program. Didn't think that you or I would be involved with kind of controversial opinion that we've been involved with today, like we have by saying that you look like a J-E-R-K for booing injured players. Apparently a lot of Clemson players were booing when A&M players went down.
Clemson fans
got a little upset when A&M players went down with injuries on defense. Again, I don't really think that, I mean, granted, I know that Clemson fans have a probably very negative opinion about Jimbo Fisher. I don't think Jimbo Fisher would stoop to those type of levels. I really don't. Call me crazy, and we'll probably have 10 people call me up saying, Jimbo Fisher's a yellow man. That's what's going to happen now. I just invited that. But I generally think that Jimbo Fisher thought his team could beat Clemson one-on-one. And for the most part, I mean, let's not mince words here. Clemson dismantled Texas A&M. But did you or I possibly expect more than 24 points on the board from the Clemson offense? More than likely.
Yeah.
Total in the game was 65. They didn't even hit half of it. So, barely. A little bit around half, a little bit over half. But still, like that part of it, to me, I don't really think they needed to go to those tactics, people. It was a hot day. It was a very hot day. Okay, so that part of it, and any of you who were at that game knows that. So I'm not about to begrudge or besmirch anybody who felt the need they needed to take themselves out of that game because of a lack of conditioning. By the way, Dabo Swinney made sure to point out to everybody and their brother, including possibly a little jab toward Florida State. By the way, I was very proud of our conditioning. Our conditioning was impeccable. So he was very much a fan of the conditioning that they had here with regards to that. And the other thing, too, the Texas A&M's Jay Sean Corbin, his season's over. Isaiah Spiller, no relation to CJ, now the first running back on the team. By the way, something that will affect the South Carolina game later on this year when they take on Texas A&M again. I didn't think that it was a particularly controversial atmosphere, or didn't really think it was a controversial take to have, but quite honestly, it was obviously a particular, it was very, very particular from that perspective that you and I at least had a much different viewpoint on it than apparently it feels like the masses have. 844-GSP-ESPN, the phone number, 71307 is the text line. Jonathan tweets us at ESPN Upstate, at Willie P. Style, and at Diesel on Radio. He says, whatever, all but one injury was just out of breath and tired. Watch the replay and get your facts straight. I believe you and I were both at the game, so we didn't need to watch the replay.
Yeah, how do you know that? Are you a doctor? Is he a doctor?
Not given the – his profile says, Clemson grad, 03, husband and proud father of two, making every day the best, 81 followers. Don't see anywhere of any of his – doctoral qualifications.
Hmm.
Question.
Okay.
Stupid. Very, very stupid. Maybe you and I just think differently than the rest of the world does. I don't know. Anyway, I found it very humorous to see the moonwalk backpedaling of people who were saying things about Ryan Olinsky. You and I were listening to the game accurately as we could listen to the game, because one thing I did not want to do is I did not want to endanger you by trying to watch the game while we drove to Death Valley. I was not trying to do that. So we followed it as best we could when Todd Ellis could tell us where the ball was every once in a while, like every fifth play, so to speak. Are you kidding me? Touchdown, Carolina. Touchdown, Ryan Helinski. South Carolina looks like a different team than they did in Charlotte. Are you kidding me? Is that pretty good? Was that?
I give you generally around a B for your impersonations.
Generally around a B. They're better than Marky Marks, though. Let's be real. Mark tried to do Sebastian from Little Mermaid earlier today, and it was a it was a swing and a miss. Like, Andarasi. No, not quite. But that was at least I'm trying to this. And then apparently, the hype train certainly here for Ryan Helinski. Hype train is certainly here for Ryan Helinski. Like you would have thought that the second coming of Connor Shaw, or the second coming of Stephen Garcia, who would you put again as the second coming of who? Would it be Shaw? Would it be Tannehill? Would it be, you know, Tommy Suggs? I don't know. They thought that they had their own version of Clemson Goldilocks, but instead with Ryan Helinski at the helm. 200-some-odd passing yards, 282 to be exact, two touchdowns, passer rating of 174.3. But against who? A team that lost by 30 to Furman. Furman, by the way, valiant effort against Georgia State, could not beat America's team, Georgia State. Unfortunate. And I do also want to share something, too, that we... That
would have been such a Georgia State thing to do. Beat Tennessee, lose to Furman.
Well, we listened to the Tennessee game on the way home. On the way back to Greenville, and listening to the Tennessee radio call of that game was so hilarious because of listening to you and I both heard the 61-yard pass play that put BYU in position to tie and send it to overtime. The incredulous nature that they described that play on the radio. How'd they let that guy get behind? How'd he make it? That's inexcusable. Probably players. Those are probably people who are not employees of the university. Because you know the old disclaimer that is put forth at the end of every broadcast. It's the announcers are employed by the network with the approval of the University of Tennessee. I don't know if those guys are going to get asked back given the way they were slamming. And by the way, is there anybody more in trouble today with their job than Jeremy Pruitt is? Anybody more in trouble today than Jeremy Pruitt?
I mean, losing to BYU is not that bad, but granted, we're not talking about BYU circa 1995.
And we're talking about those people who think they're God's greatest gift to earth when it comes to football, okay?
As opposed to the chosen people from Salt Lake.
Yes. Somebody put out on Twitter, he says, they went into Tennessee, they stole the game, they stole their women, and didn't drink a drop of the alcohol that was being served in Tennessee for the first time at Neyland Stadium.
It's interesting to see what happens when you have two groups of the chosen ones going head-to-head.
I want to see what the alcohol sales were like at Neyland Stadium for that game, because Lord knows they were probably, given the way that that game played, through the roof. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. So in the vein of all the hype around Helinski, I ask you on ESPN Upstate's Twitter and on the phones, who will have a better career as a Gamecock in your mind? Ryan Helinski or Jake Bentley? Pause. Here's the other thing. You have to put this into account. You have to put into account that if things don't necessarily go as rosy for South Carolina over the next couple of seasons, Ryan Helinski might not necessarily be here for his entire college career. We don't know that. A lot of things can happen between now and the time his eligibility is up. But if you hear what my colleague Mark Ryan is saying, with Jake Bentley possibly after this injury that we found out now is a season-long injury, thanks to Will Muschamp's teleconference, he'll have to undergo surgery on the midfoot sprain. Who in their right mind would have ever thought the words Jake Bentley and transfer portal would be in the same sentence? I don't think anybody in their mind would have ever thought that, ever, before the season. And yet here we are with the report that he's possibly going to transfer now or by the end of the season to preserve his final year of eligibility and possibly get better equipped to possibly get through the league. So in my mind, this is a very, very interesting question. I don't think it's as cut and dry as saying, well, Hlinsky's got more upside. It might as well be him. 85% of you already have put it in and said you have Ryan Hlinsky in there. I don't think you're thinking about the question hard enough, guys. Because here's the thing. If you believe the other stuff that's being perpetuated by the masses right now, and Will Muschamp is not the coach at this program for another year or two, or beyond another year or two, then I think Hlinsky could end up somewhere else. Imagine it being something to the effect of Ryan Hlinsky is here for 2 years, then sits out, transfers, and goes and plays for another SEC program and comes back, victimizes the Gamecocks. Robbie tweets me at Willie P. Style. He says, Ryan Hlinsky, but keeping in mind, Ryan Hlinsky is taking over a program in way better shape than Jake had. Fair point. Very fair point. Greg says, glad they're aiming high on this question. It's like comparing the next Panthers quarterback to Kerry Collins. Huh? Why has Kerry Collins got such a bad rap?
He was fine.
Kerry Collins was more than fine. Harper says, Bentley was on pace to break a lot of South Carolina records, though not great in clutch time. He is probably top three, definitely top five all-time quarterback, but I think Hlinsky will be better. See, you know what that is? That's something that has no room or reason for Twitter. That is a reasoned, well-thought-out, measured sports take is what that is. Far be it for me to make that happen from that perspective. Text line is open. 71307 is how you get in touch with us. Put ESPN in the body of that text. I get so tired of Clemson fans complaining about something that is so petty. Their perfect little team would never do anything as disgusting as that. Wah, wah, wah. Interesting. Someone goes, why the negative thoughts about Hlinsky? I don't get it. He has the potential to be the best quarterback in school history. I don't think it's negative. What did I say was negative?
And be careful. Again, we're talking about one game against Charleston Southern.
I'm just saying that team, it looked very, very pedestrian. Very pedestrian. And again, a lot of the stuff that Hlinsky could do would be hard to do against air. Understand all that. But he might as well have been doing it against air. Just saying. 844-GSP-ESPN. This guy goes interested in a rumor about Bentley's injury. If it's the rumor that he kicked the locker, again, I don't know. I don't think any of that necessarily has, number one, any merit. Number two, really matters. Because, again, with the midfoot sprain being where it is, if he kicked the locker, then he would have a fracture at the front of the foot. You know what I mean? If it's a midfoot sprain the way they say it is, then it's something of him somebody landing on him awkwardly. And maybe that's again, I'm not a doctor, but to me it doesn't sound very logical to put that in the kitty there. 844-GSP ESPN is the phone number. At Drew LeBlanc says Bentley to OU.
I think everybody goes to OU.
Everybody goes. That's.
Do they even recruit quarterbacks anymore?
Not out of high school. Now I think Lincoln Riley has one guy whose sole possession, his sole reason for being there is to basically be on the transfer portal. He's got a transfer portal stalker, and he probably makes more than you or I make because that's the way college football works. But God forbid any of that goes to the players. God forbid any of that actually goes inside the players' pockets. Perish the thought. We can't have any of that amateurism being taken away.
Now you're sounding like Tennessee play-by-play.
We can't have any of that amateurism being taken away. I'm in a zone today, baby. It's a weird place. It's a weird place. You know what happens? It's really bad when Willie P can't get his meds. This is what happens. 844-GSP-ESPN. The phone number is 71307 is the text line. This guy goes, not going to get the full truth on the injury from the school if it happened from the kicking of a locker. Why does it matter? Why does it matter? Why do you care? That's the thing. Why do people care so much when it happened? It happened. It's not going to change anything. He's not going to play another game at South Carolina. You move on. Speaking of a player who's never going to play another game in South Carolina, this one had me a little weirded out today. Former South Carolina and Clemson defensive tackle Josh Belk, as you know, took a very unceremonious departure from college football this spring. You're not going to believe what he's accusing Will Muschamp of doing in a video he posted to YouTube. We'll discuss that next and my reaction to it on ESPN Upstate. I have a big problem with this story. I really do. Because this is something that crosses over both fan bases here. And it's a kid who, by all accounts, didn't exactly leave either situation with the parting side feeling happy. As you may or may not remember, Josh Belk, the Louisville high school native, part of the Clemson recruiting class a couple of years ago, left Clemson last spring, or two springs ago, I should say, came to South Carolina, granted immediate eligibility and an opportunity to play at South Carolina. One of the issues that he had coming into South Carolina was his weight. One of the things that was said about him on his way out from Clemson was that he had a poor attitude, didn't mesh with the team. A lot of that reputation worked its way to here, or to Columbia, I should say. And then in the spring, rumors about a back injury came about. And as a result, he decided to leave football. Now, the parting was portrayed amicably by Will Muschamp and all the statements that have been outwardly released by South Carolina. Well, no one really got the Josh Belk side of the story. And he posted in a YouTube video that basically his departure had to do with being asked to lift weights after learning that he had spinal fractures, and also he was threatened that his scholarship would be pulled if he did not comply. This is Belk on a video that he posted to YouTube here this past weekend.
We had a heavy squat day one day, and my back just started burning extra bad. So I went to the training room. They told me muscle spasm, got medicine and stuff. So I went back to work out the next day, and we had to do the upper body and have dumbbell press. And I'm normally throwing up 125 pounds on dumbbell press. I barely could get 60 pounds. I was like, I need an MRI. So I went and got my MRI, and then I got a CT scan on my back, and then they said it was fractured in three places. It was pars fracture, and then when they showed it to me, it was in three places or something like that. 3 days after they said my back was fractured, I got a text, and it was like, I was just going to class and stuff, and I got a text that was like, come in and work out. I like, work out, and my back fractured. So I went, I was like, what's the deal with that? So they explained to me and everything. I went and tried out. Like, man, I like, I can't work out right now. Like, my body just, you know what I'm saying? That was the point in time where I just started standing up for myself. I was started looking ahead instead of living in the now. I was looking now and ahead, you know what I'm saying? So I didn't. I mean, it was... And then after about a week or so, they called me and was like, so I was still doing my treatment and everything. They called me and told me that I needed to meet with the head coach. So I was like, what's up? I went up there, met with the head coach and everything. And when that happened, they told me then, it was like, all in all, they were like, either you going to lift and stuff, or we're going to take a scholarship at the end of the semester. I was like, what kind of stuff is that, man? Like, I'm injured and you want me to live and you threatening to take my scholarship because of that. Like, how? And so I was at that point, it is what it is. So I just was praying and stuff. I was finished up classes for a little bit and I got to a point where I was like, it ain't even no point in me staying here. My scholarship gonna get taken away. So at that point, I just came home.
That's Josh Belk on YouTube. It's 2 minutes out of a 15-minute long video. So I basically cut without trying to remove any context. So there was some other things that happened in the video that I wanted to at least make sure that it sounded somewhat clean and represented him in the fairest way possible. Said that part of the back injury, he couldn't even sit in class. This is what I'll say. Knowing what I know and what people have told me about Josh Belk and his commitment to working out, staying in shape, and just how he generally felt about football, he's somebody who really didn't want to play football. But he was told, because of his build, this could be a way to get you, you know, an opportunity to take care of your family. And that's how a lot of people approach the game. So I will give him the benefit of the doubt there. But when you hear people attach you with the kind of reputation that suggests that you do not want to go to workouts, that you do not want to go lift, and that you do not necessarily want to have a relationship with your teammates, and that you don't necessarily fit in at the school in two different places, all the finger pointing only leads to more being pointed back at you. I can't confirm whether or not he had an injured vertebrae in his back, but here's the issue. Regardless of whether or not Will Muschamp asked him to lift while he was injured, that to me sounds very implausible, because I don't think Will Muschamp is going to stick his neck on the line for that guy, who wasn't even a part of the two deep depth going into spring last year at defensive tackle. And because of that, I find it very hard to believe. And also find it very hard to believe that they would take away your scholarship. And South Carolina put out a statement that said that they can't take away scholarships based on medical issues. Now, what they can say is, look, if you don't want to play here anymore, you don't want to put in the work, then you're free to leave. That's what they basically probably said to him, and he might have misinterpreted that, and that could be very, very well the case. And the other thing, too, that you have to remember is this. If you have the rep for not putting forth the kind of effort that is needed to be a scholarship athlete at the college level, and then all of a sudden you complain about a back issue and you miss workouts because of that reason, then you almost kind of sound like the boy who cried wolf in a way. So if he was a guy who was a fine, upstanding individual and always showed up the workouts, always showed up the meetings, that's the kind of thing that gets you cut, man. That's the kind of thing that gets you thrown off the team. That's the thing that gets your scholarship pulled.
And he's accusing Will Muschamp of being a bad guy.
Right.
That's a big deal to accuse somebody of. And if you're a coach, again, why would you do that? You wouldn't do that.
No.
As a coach, you wouldn't tell a guy, especially because if he got an MRI from the training staff, you would have to assume that information, as accurately as it can be, is given from the medical staff to the coach.
And that,
so he should know at that point what the results of the MRI was.
And that part of it is unclear, because I'm thinking if they knew that particular injury was happening, then they would know. But this makes me sound like he went to a third-party doctor to get his CT scan and an MRI. I'm thinking he might have done something, again, more at home or something of that nature, something third-party outside of the university, which, again, doesn't use the best judgment from that perspective. If they knew he was going through an injury, then they knew he wouldn't be lifting. I don't think that there are a lot of holes. What I'm saying is there are a lot of holes in this story that is being put forth by Belk. I'm trying to be as absolutely fair to the young man, but you think you also have to be fair to South Carolina too. And the thing that I'll reiterate is that Will Muschamp is not risking his career. Jeff Dillman, the strength coach, is not risking his career. The training staff not risking their careers for a guy who wasn't even projected to be on the two deep at D tackle. For a guy who was going to be taking snaps behind a true freshman in Zach Pickens. Belk was not a contributor for the team last year. He just wasn't. He wasn't at playing weight. He showed up out of shape. If he has a back injury, he has a back injury. That's fine. You don't want somebody risking quality of life issues to play football. But to go out and say things like this, where it doesn't sound like he went through the proper protocol, to me sounds incredibly petty out of Belk. And again, I hope he finds peace in his life. And, you know, Will Muschamp, I'm sure we'll talk about this in great detail in his press conference tomorrow, or as much as he possibly can. A lot of the stuff they probably have on him they can't say because of HIPAA. I'm willing to give more of the benefit of the doubt to the Gamecocks and Will Muschamp on this, more because the reputation that precedes Josh Belk, quite honestly, isn't a good one. And that's the unfortunate part. And that is, if anything, more a lesson to people to basically be like, look, if you're a good guy, if you're somebody who doesn't, you know, who shows up and you know, they say, what's the old saying? You know, 50% of life is showing up, or 90% of life is showing up, whatever it is. That basically is it. And in fact, if you're not one of those people, then you don't get the benefit of the doubt in situations such as these. 844-GSP-ESPN, the phone number, 71307, the text line. We'll come back and bring forth a much different spin on an issue that we didn't necessarily think was going to happen. Did not have any real read on this when we left you on Friday. Antonio Brown is a Patriot. My buddy Levin Reed, who covers the New England Patriots for WBZ-TV in Boston, will give us his insight as to how this got here. Next on ESPN Up. Willie P. back here with you on ESPN Upstate as we roll along on a football Monday. And it's weird because I know we don't do a lot of national NFL talk, but when there's a story as pervasive as this one and it involves obviously one of the storied franchises in the NFL, one of my best friends in the business basically covers the NFL for this franchise for a living. It's my pal Levin Reed, who works for WBZ-TV in Boston. He joins us on ESPN Upstate as Antonio Brown is now a New England Patriot. Big Lev star. How did we get here?
You know, it never surprises me, and it did surprise me. I feel like it's like eating kale, where you're like, I don't like the move. And then you're like, well, it's not so bad. And then all of a sudden you're like, I love it. You know, it's one of those things where I felt like Antonio Brown wanted to be a Patriot from the get-go. There were stories about the Patriots trying to give a first-round pick, and the Steelers wanted a first and a second, but they still weren't going to give it to anyone in the AFC North and then the Patriots. So he ends up going to Oakland, and, you know, it doesn't work out in Oakland. So obviously the place that he would like to work out for him would be New England, and everything happens so fast. I mean, you're thinking he got released around 12, and by 4:35, they had a deal placed, options ready to go, language in a contract. I get when people feel it smells kind of funky, because it does. But this is how things happen for the Patriots a lot.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, it's hard to feel like this wasn't premeditated, and in a way, I almost feel like we all got played, Lev.
Oh, absolutely. And trust me, that when it first came down, I can tell you people in the Boston media were like the same way. They were like, man, was this the plan from the get-go? Did they sit around and say, because LeGarrette Blount had done something like this, kind of shot his way out of Pittsburgh to get back to the Patriots after he got his money. And was this one of those instances where, let me shoot myself out of Oakland, I'm still going to get guaranteed $9 million. I'll get it with the escalator that I have to meet, obviously, in the signing bonus. And if I do my job, maybe I'll get a better deal. But it did, honestly. From the beginning of, you know, I don't like this helmet, I'm leaving practice. I have a grievance with the fines, I'm leaving practice. I'm going to call the GM, a derogatory name, I'm leaving practice. Like, you know as well as I do, any job you're in, half of that would have got you fired a long, long time ago.
True.
It felt like the Oakland Raiders did everything they could do to keep him in the fold, and he just did not want to be there from the get-go.
Levin Reed, WBZ in Boston, joining us here on what has been a busy weekend. Of course, not only Sunday Night Football with them and the Steelers, but also the firing of Dave Dombrowski with the Red Sox, which is just a nice little cherry on top of the sports weekend there in the Northeast for you, Lev. But sticking kind of with this theme with Antonio, from your standpoint, why do the Patriots make this move?
One, they feel they have a great team. Two, Bill Belichick has always had a good feeling about Antonio Brown, and every team would make the move if they think they had the culture in the locker room and if the contract requirements fit. Their situation is very different, and when I mean this, last night's game was very important for Antonio Brown to watch. They pasted the Steelers, and they're saying to Antonio, we don't need you. If you want to come here, you're going to have to play by the rules because we just crushed this team without you. And we could do the same to other teams. So it's not a matter of Antonio Brown coming in and the Patriots have to kind of, you know, fit to how he does things. Because that never happens. It didn't happen with Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon spoke about it last night. He said, when you get here, you got to find your way to fit in. Because guys are not here to kind of coddle you and help you out. That's not how this works. Everything goes in a certain thing. If you talk about what happened last year or 2 years ago with James Harrison. James Harrison got here late. And the questions were, well, what happens if you miss a meeting? And he said, I don't know anything about that because nobody misses meetings there. he was just like, everybody's running to meetings. He's like, Tom Brady's blowing passes to get to this meeting. Nobody misses meetings. Nobody misses practices. Nobody misses anything because everybody understands how it happens. I will tell you this. I want to know two things that are going to happen. One, and I'll know if he's in the program if he takes a different number because Ben Watson is 84. And by the way, Ben Watson is suspended for the first four games, so there's no contact with Ben Watson. So he has to have a number come Sunday that's not 84, and he's got to be fine with that number. And because the Patriots are going to be like, well, you're 19. Well, I'm always 84, and that's the AB way. Well, here's 19, or you don't get your money. And two, they undress players. Bill Belichick undressed players all the time in those rooms. If you do a play wrong, if you talk to Julian Edelman or Tom Brady, in those meetings, Bill will tear you apart. And if Bill says AB apart, is he going to get soft? Is he going to say, well, why would you do that to me? No, because everybody gets theirs. Everybody's going to get one.
Levin Reed joining us on the Antonio Brown beaten saga that has eventually landed him in Foxborough, eligible to play next week against Miami. And then, oh, by the way, he ends up playing against the Jets week three for his home opener. So thanks a lot for that, AB.
No problem.
But from that perspective, obviously from New England standpoint, they're obviously having to answer a lot of uncomfortable questions. Do you think this is something the league will look into from a possible tampering standpoint?
If I was the Oakland Raiders, I would really look into this. I would try to subpoena Drew Rosenhaus's phone to see if this conversation started before we released him. You know what I'm saying? Look, I don't know how fast contracts get together, but on a Saturday afternoon when one guy gets let go and he's on YouTube, saying that he got let go, and then, like, 5 hours later, there's a deal in place with guaranteed money, okay? With guaranteed money, and they press the I's and dotted the T's. I just find it to be so quick, man. It's so hard to believe that. And again, if it happened and he worked and there were other teams in it, but even listening to Drew Rosenhaus this morning, he said, he got released at 4:00, and I was like, well, no, he got released at like noon. And you didn't, Drew Rosenhaus didn't mention the rules that you can start negotiating around, like, right when they got released. He mentioned the rules that he started negotiating after 4:00, and that was the old-time rules. And I was like, well, if that's the case, how did you get a deal together in an hour? Like, how did that happen? How many other teams did you call? Like, that would be a question that I would want to ask. I mean, I get it. He has a relationship with Bill Belichick. And if he's trying, and any agent, if they have a client who, in the NFL, that their career is on fire, then you better send them to New England to calm that fire down. And I get that. But AB is going to have to come in and be happy with sometimes getting, like, 3 targets, 2 catches, but they're big plays. because the Patriots have a way of doing things. And Tom Brady's not that dude. You're not yelling at Tom Brady and expecting it to end up in, you know, in your favor. It's not going to happen.
Last one for you, Lev. Does this have a little last hurrah type feel of it for Tom and Bill?
It does. It gives me – there was a thing we were talking about on our shows the other day was – and I've said this to you, you know, in our conversations. That I, in the time that I've covered this team, this is the best they've looked on paper in the preseason. Like, they were that deep. But, you know, I thought he was doing Detroit and Tennessee favors by doing them joint practices because I'm sure Matt Patricia and Mike Vrabel were like, well, Bill can't keep all these guys. I can grab some of these guys. And, you know, that's what I thought. So – if they were like, okay, we're that close to not only going to the Super Bowl, but going into the Super Bowl like we did in 2007, how about we try again to do that? You know, that's unprecedented, but we need an extra push, and this is your extra push. You know, to go after a guy who's never won it, who understands, who's hungry, who's got something to prove, and will probably give you that extra lift and when the times get tough.
Levin Reed, WBZ, fantastic job covering the Patriots. As much as it pains me, they look once again to be headed for a possible seventh ring, which would be just incredible right now for New England.
Crazy. It would be crazy if they go to like four or five, what's it, five Super Bowls in a row or four in a row? Four in a row.
Be crazy.
Five in a row? I don't remember.
And you, my friend, will be once again there covering it as much as you've begun to hate going to a Super Bowl year after year after year.
I don't know if I hate it. I just would like to take vacation.
That's it. You told me that Houston Bowl, you're like, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And then you showed up there and we had, you know, margs and Mexican food and all that. And you're like, and I remembered why I don't want to go. That's what it was.
I'll tell you what. Like, I tell people all the time, and no one's gonna have any type of sympathy for you. Oh, you know, you're covering the Super Bowl. Yeah, it's -23 in Minnesota. Oh, yeah. You're covering the Super Bowl. I'm like, it's -23. Okay, so it's a great gig, and it's the best, and it's the gift that keeps on giving. I have a house, a summer house that I call the Brady Compound, because simply he's done so much for me. So, but at the same time, there were times where you just want the train to slow down just a little bit, and I get that, and that's fine.
Levin Reed, WBZ Boston. Thanks, bud.
Anytime, buddy.
That's Levin Reed here on ESPN Upstate. That guy, I tell you what, one of my best friends. Anytime I have an opportunity or excuse to get him on the radio, I try to because he's great, very, very well connected in the NFL. And you know, it's very, very hard to envision a scenario where they're not back there again on Super Bowl Sunday. 844-GSP, ESPN, the phone number, 71307, the text line. Have heard a little bit from you, would love to hear some more. Non-sports story of the day that'll make you smile and smirk. I tell you what, this is probably one of the weirdest ones I've seen because I see the story and I think there's no way this is real. This looks like it came from The Onion. Well, guess what? It didn't come from The Onion. It's absolutely real, and it comes from the state of Alabama, and it probably sounds about as stupid as you would think coming from that state of Alabama. It's a state of confusion. Next on ESPN Upstate. Things I didn't think I'd be on the opposite side of the loud majority on. People in favor of booing injured players in Death Valley. Didn't think that when I woke up this morning today and looked at the beautiful South Carolina sky, but color me surprised. The non-sports story of the day that will make you smile and smirk comes from the state of Alabama. Now, Alabama High School has come up with an interesting way to stop students from vaping on campus. They have removed the doors from the bathroom stalls at Wilson High School in Northern Alabama because kids have been sneaking into lavatories to get their head changed, and also with some of them smoking and others vaping. Principal Gary Horton told a local TV station he recently found a male student passed out in the boys' bathroom after vaping too much. As a result, he decided to take off some of the stall doors in the bathroom to stop people from secretly vaping away. A number of parents came forward over the weekend and voiced their concerns. I would say, parenthetically, rightfully so, saying it's an invasion of privacy. Don't you ever get angry if you are in a situation where you have to use a stall and you don't see a door, like at a bar or something? I always find that very invasive.
You know, the thing about people who vape is you don't have to actually see them vaping. People who vape don't shut up about vaping. That's all they talk about.
This big vaping.
And they blow that giant cloud for no freaking reason. So, of course, you're going to know if somebody's in there vaping.
I almost feel like it's in your head now. I almost feel like they do it because they not it's not even the chemical anymore. It's just to look cool for that perspective.
It's the modern smoking.
It's not in my mind, it's not necessarily good. And apparently it was only done with the boys' bathroom and not all the bathrooms that got singled out. So that part of it is even bad from that perspective. They didn't even do anything to the girls' bathrooms, too. I personally don't think they should do anything to either of the bathrooms because I think it's an invasion of privacy. But
so what if you got to go in there and, you know, duke one out? No door.
No door. It's I'd feel a little weird about that.
Yeah.
I'd feel very weird about that. And again, I've told you, whenever I go to a bar and have to do that, let's just say I don't feel very very comfortable. Mike Yuva, Watch Fox, will join us next on a bunch of stuff. Gamecocks, the Belk stuff, Clemson, the whole bit. Hour 3 next on ESPN Upstate.